Good morning. Welcome to the worship of God here at Danville Congregational Church. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. We're a people of extravagant welcome. No matter what you look like, talk like, dress like, dance like, move like, love like, or vote like, you are welcome here, for this is God's house, and all people are welcome in God's house this morning. A special welcome to any visitors that we might have among us. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. Following the service, there'll be a greeter outside the double doors that you came in with a red bag. This is just a special gift for you. And if you're new, or you feel new, or you've been with us for your entire life, we'd love to know of your presence with us this morning. And so we have the blue friendship pads in each pew, and we invite you to fill out, sign in. Let us know that you're here. Give us whatever information you want to give us, and then pass it down the road to your neighbor. Later in the service, we'll have an opportunity to lift up our joys and our concerns for our communities, our families, and our world. And to include you all in that practice, we have the prayer cards in each pew, and we invite you to fill out your joy or concern on the prayer card, and then later in the service, an usher will come by to collect those. And then after worship, everyone is invited to join us next door for a time of coffee, conversation, and community. We have several announcements this morning. The first is that it's good to be back in worship with you all after some time away. I truly felt the prayers of this community while I was with my family on the East Coast, and I'm grateful for the many ways that you lifted us in prayer. We certainly felt your presence, and I felt your presence personally. But I have to say, it's good to be back and to be back with all of you. So thank you for holding us in prayer during this time in my family life. We have a couple announcements. The first, I'd like to invite up Todd to give an announcement about what's happening tomorrow.
So as you all know, tomorrow is Dr. Martin Luther King Day, and one of the ways that we honor his legacy is by participating in acts of service around the country. And so Danville Church will be participating in partnership with CCIH. We will be meeting in the morning here at the church, 8:45 to 9, and then we're going to head off at 9:15 to our first location in Antioch. We're going to take some furniture, we're going to do some planting. And then a group will move on from there to Concord and do some work cleaning out gutters at a home there. We'll be done sometime after lunch. If you would like to participate in that, you can sign up. But mainly what you need to know is just come in the morning. There'll be coffee and donuts around 8:45, and then we will need to leave right on the dot at 9:15.
Thanks, Todd. February 4th to the 6th, we have an opportunity to serve our neighbors with Shelter Inc. and the Mountain View Shelter up in Martinez. There's going to be a sign-up table after worship in Quininia Hall for anyone who's interested in signing up for that opportunity. Also, Saturday, February 8th, is the CCIH Contra Costa Interfaith Housing Annual Gala and Silent Auction. Carol Gilliland is the chair of the board. She's also a member of our church. And she's looking for silent auction donation items. And so if that is something that you can provide for CCIH, please contact Carol. She needs the items by January 26th. Her information's on page 10 in your bulletin, so be sure to reach out to her. And she's inviting people to just attend the gala. So it's an important annual event for their organization, and it's an organization that we support here at the church, and so I'd really love to see some DCC folk there that day. And Sid Dent has an announcement. We'll do the white mic.
So it's tax season. We have your 2019 statements out in the hall next door. I'll be have them spread out or hand them out to you. So please stop by and save the church 50 cents by picking them up here. So.
Thanks, Sid. Very important. Friends, we have come here this morning because God has called us to this place in this moment. Let us center our hearts and our minds, and let us prepare ourselves for worship.
All are invited to rise in body and spirit as we do the call to worship. I waited patiently for the Lord. God inclined to me and heard my cry. God drew me up from the pit and made my steps secure. God put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and believe and put their trust in the Lord. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another and pass the peace of Christ.
Please join me in the gathering prayer on page one of your programs. Author of creation, maker of all that is, by your hands the seasons turn and the days grow longer. As sunlight expands irresistibly into dark corners, shed your light into our hearts and into our world. Renew our spirits that we may reflect your goodness to all who are alone or discouraged. Renew your church, Holy Spirit, that we may worship and serve with the joy of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
The scripture lesson for today is from John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.'" And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas." Here ends the reading for today.
I'd like to invite our young friends up forward for a little time together. And if you see some bags of groceries in the aisles, would you grab those and bring them with you? And put them up here in these baskets. All right. Good job. I think I see one more bag. Somebody want to go get that one? Ah, thank you, Hazel. All right. Thank you. Thank you to our church for bringing those groceries to give to folks who might not have enough. And thank you all for helping us collect them this morning. How's everybody today? Good. Are y'all awake yet? Well, since y'all aren't awake, I'm not very awake either. I think we should sing, because we haven't done this in a minute. So, got a lot of fruit in here. Does anybody want to come pick a fruit? Zane, I know you do. Come over here. Pick a good one. So, Galatians chapter 5, by the way, if you want to follow along. Is, well, not this exactly. Is the fruit of the Spirit watermelon? Okay, I'm not sure y'all are sure about that. Is the fruit of the Spirit a watermelon?
No.
No, the fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. The fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. If you want to be a watermelon, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Good job. Y'all have got this down. One more. Let's do another one. Hazel, reach in there and get something good. Is the fruit of the Spirit a peach?
No.
No. The fruit of the Spirit's not a peach. The fruit of the Spirit's not a peach. If you want to be a peach, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Awesome job, y'all. That's great. I think we're awake now. So the scripture that Miss Sandra read for us this morning was about people who found out about Jesus. And it began with John saying, "Here he is, the Lamb of God." And some people started following Jesus and asked him what he was wanting and where he was going. And Jesus said, do you remember? Come and see. Kind of a simple invitation. And so some people did that. They came and saw. And a little bit later, somebody named Andrew ran out and found his brother Peter and said, we found the Messiah. Essentially, come and see. And so that was like 2,000 years ago. And all these years later, we're all here. Y'all are here today because somebody said, come and see to us. Come and see Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. And one of those people that I want to tell you about this morning that effectively said, come and see, we're celebrating his birthday tomorrow. Does anyone know who that is? Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah, that's his. Your teacher told you about this? Yeah. His birthday was on the 15th, but tomorrow is the holiday where we all celebrate his birthday. Who can tell me what you might know about Reverend Dr. King? Okay, you're good. Yeah. That's how I feel about this thing, trust me. But what do you know about him? He was an activist. He changed stuff. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was. So he was a preacher, kind of like Pastor Eric and I are preachers. He was a civil rights leader. He wanted people to treat everybody equally, no matter what race they were. What else, Hazel? What else do you have?
He won the Nobel Peace Prize.
He won the Nobel Peace Prize. Do you know why?
He liked to
help people. He liked to help us be like Jesus, and he did it in peaceful ways, in nonviolent ways, and that's one of the reasons he got that award. Did you think of something else? Yeah, he gave a really important speech. I have a dream. And so the life of Dr. King was really kind of like those disciples in the early years, where he said, I know some things about Jesus. Jesus says, love our enemies and pray for those who are mean to us. And that's what Jesus wants us to be. And so Dr. King was like, come and see. Let's be like Jesus. And I had a picture. I was going to pull this out earlier. There he is preaching at one of his
churches.
And so that's kind of the opportunity that all of us have with our lives to invite people. Like our godly play teachers are gonna be like, come and see. We've learned some things about God and about Jesus. Come and see. And Pastor Eric and I, when we preach, that's always kind of a subtext of what we're saying. Come and see. And so that's one of the reasons that we want to remember people like Dr. King and other important people who remind us to be kind and to love others and to work for peace in peaceful ways. So thanks for listening to that. And I would like to invite you all to pray with us now. Is that cool? All right. Dear God, y'all can repeat after me if you want. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for sending Jesus and for people who help us find him. Thank you for Dr. King and people who teach us to love others and be kind. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all can head off to Godly Play. Y'all have a good time.
Let's join together in a moment of prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us now. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. During the summer of 2013, immediately following my graduation from seminary at Boston University School of Theology, fun fact, that's the same seminary that Dr. King attended and graduated from, I was learning how to be a chaplain at a sprawling, urban, large medical complex in Boston. This hospital was a maze. Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center had several buildings, and they were all connected somehow, but getting from one part of this building to another part of that building always involved multiple corridors and elevators. Now, one of the first things that they teach you when you're learning how to be a chaplain at this hospital was the policy of refraining from giving directions to visitors. The hospital was just too darn confusing. Instead, if little Jimmy's grandmother asked me how to get to the oncology unit, the policy directed me to take her there myself and to make sure she knew her way back to the parking garage, which happened to be two elevators, three corridors, a skywalk, and two Dunkin' Donuts away. In effect, hospital employees said, come and see to their visitors, and they accompanied them all the way to their destination. These words, come and see, make up Jesus' second line of the dialogue that we heard this morning in John's Gospel. And we'll get to them soon. But for now, I'd like to talk about the first line of dialogue. His first five words would not have been out of place at a hospital like Beth Israel. What are you looking for? You might hear this question at any hospital elevator, as any lost visitor stares blankly at a building schematic printed out right there by the elevator. What are you looking for? Jesus speaks these words to two of John the Baptizer's disciples after he notices them following him. And at this point in the gospel, Jesus, he has no followers of his own quite yet. He's the new guy in town. John the Baptizer owns the market on charismatic fellows who say compelling and challenging things. But John knows who Jesus is. So John encourages his disciples to begin following Jesus. And right away, Andrew and an unnamed person quite literally begin following Jesus. And when Jesus turns around and challenges them with his question, "What are you looking for?" his words speak on two levels. This dual-layered dialogue is consistent throughout John's gospel. The first layer this morning speaks to this superficial, surface-level meaning. This layer is easy for Jesus' listeners to access, and so they become drawn in to Jesus in the conversation. Then the second, the deeper layer of meaning presents itself. Many of Jesus' listeners throughout the Gospels resist this level, but those who dive deeply find rich, life-giving substance at this layer. And with Jesus' first words in the Gospel, he challenges Andrew, the unnamed disciple, and us to dive deeply into this second layer of meaning. At the first level, John's two disciples probably interpret Jesus' question as a straightforward wonderment into their present intentions. Do they happen to be going his way by chance, or are they following him purposefully? At the second level, Jesus' five words break through to the deepest places of our human hearts. What are you looking for? His question beckons an answer from those same deep places within our hearts. The trouble is, there are just so many potential answers one can come up with to this question that digging through them to find the ones that exist in those deep places can be problematic, at least. Here's what I mean. Someone were to ask you, "What are you looking for?" you might respond with a mid-sized sedan with good gas mileage, or better yet, electric and a high safety rating. A doctor who understands my symptoms and actually seems to care for my well-being. An assisted living facility for my parent whose mind is rapidly deteriorating. What are you looking for? The right greeting card to express my feelings. A college that's not too big but still has my major. A quick hit to forget the day. What are you looking for? A boyfriend that I can bring home to mom. A scrap of meaning in my dead-end job. My car keys. What are you looking for? John's two disciples seem to understand that the car key type of answers will not suffice because Jesus' words, they break right into their hearts. And so instead of answering his question, they ask one of their own. "Teacher, where are you staying?" Now, Jesus apparently doesn't hold a monopoly on dialogue with dual layers. And at this first level, they want to know just what the question appears to ask. "In what house are you going to rest your head tonight?" But on that deeper second level, their question seeks a much more profound answer. Where are you staying. It's interesting, in Greek, the word that is translated as staying means quite a bit more than its English equivalent. Rather than the connotation of staying at a hotel or sleeping on a friend's sofa, the Greek word means to abide, or to continue to be present. Thus, at the deeper level, the disciples asked Jesus where he dwells. Where does he abide? Where is Jesus present? And their question then is the best response to Jesus' own question of, what are you looking for? Jesus, I'm looking for where you abide. I'm looking for where you are present in this crazy life of mine. I'm looking for where you dwell in this particular situation that I have gotten myself into. And when we receive Jesus' question at that second, deeper level, we can feel his words breaking right into our hearts. We can hear his voice whispering up from the very depths of our beings, what are you looking for? Paying attention to his words rising from those depths helps us locate our own responses, the ones that originate in those same deep places of our very beings. The transient, daily, car keep type answers to the question, just they fall away when we have the courage to search deep within. And the best way to begin this search is with the disciples' question. Where are you staying, Jesus? When we ask this question, we open ourselves to find Jesus dwelling somewhere in every facet of our lives. We open ourselves to hearing his voice, whispering his presence into and out from our souls. We open ourselves, and in doing so, we turn the depths of ourselves outward to the world. The hidden deep places where our responses to Jesus' question lie dormant become the pieces of ourselves that we end up displaying to all the world. And these pieces of ourselves, they are our calling from God. They are our personal, authentic, individual discoveries of Jesus beckoning us to find him in everything that we do, in everything that we say, and in every person that we meet. And so this brings us back to Jesus' second line of dialogue in John's gospel. Come and see. What are you looking for? Teacher, where are you staying? Come and see. Jesus invites us to see where he abides, where he is present in all our lives. He invites us to dwell with him no matter life's circumstances or situations. Finding his presence means we have found those deep places within the very core of our beings. Abiding in his presence gives us that grace we need to be vulnerable and to show the world the deepest yearnings that God has put on our hearts, the callings God has for each one of us. So, my friends, this morning the good news is this. Come and see. It means that Jesus will be with us. He will take our hand lead us where we need to go, and show us what we need to see. Just like the hospital employees accompanying a lost visitor to her destination, Jesus remains with us throughout our journeys. He dwells in our hearts, whispering the question, what are you looking for? And when we ask him in return where he might be staying, where he is abiding in our lives, he walks one step before us and says, come and see. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
We come now to this opportunity to offer one another in this community the ministry of prayer. So I'd like to invite the ushers to go around and collect any prayer cards that we have for our prayers of the people this morning. If you have a prayer card, just have it raised high for them to collect. After each petition is read this morning, you're invited to respond with, "Hear our prayer." Prayers from Jim and Betty Felton for our longtime friends Sue and Lee as they negotiate illness together. God, in your mercy and peace. Prayers for Yanni and her family who has been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. God, in your healing and mercy. Prayers for former interim pastor Gail Doring and her husband David at the death of David's father. And prayers for all the family complexities, all while we are preparing to move to Kansas. God, in your mercy and peace. Prayers from Polly Smith. We lift up Paul to his eternal life. We're grateful for Paul and his service to the United Church of Christ, his friends, and his family. Rest in peace. God, in your mercy and peace. Prayers from Bob Howell. Prayers for the people of Hong Kong who continue to be faithful in their struggle for democracy. God, in your great love and grace, let us join together now in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, we praise your name and we thank you for your never-ending love. You invite us to see where you abide, where you are present in every moment. Open us to welcome you in, to dwell with you no matter the circumstances of life. O God, on this day we pray for our world. We pray for the people of Australia and the land that has been burned by wildfire. We pray for the people of the Philippines and Mexico who live at the base of erupting volcanoes. We pray for the long-term recovery for the people of Puerto Rico who are recovering from the earth shaking beneath their feet and their very lives. We pray for families that continue to be separated at the U.S.-Mexico border, for refugees for being rejected from more countries than we can count. We pray for the hungry and the unhoused and the homeless, for struggling, hardworking families who cannot pay their medical bills. We pray for medical and military personnel who suffer from PTSD and vicarious trauma. We pray for those who grieve. We pray for peace, for the threats of war and tensions among nations. Oh God, on a day like today, a day when you invite us to come and see where you abide, we're reminded of the one with whom you abided, Martin Luther King Jr. We want to thank you for Martin Luther King, who served you faithfully in a difficult, challenging time. We thank you for his example in our own ministries to keep serving you faithfully. We thank you for his work to bring justice, rights, and peace to your people. May we be inspired to do the same, to continue in that long journey toward justice, rights, and peace for all your people. Holy God, we pray that you will remain with us outside of this very moment and outside of this space. May we continue to abide in your presence, giving us the grace to be vulnerable, so that the world may have a chance of seeing a reflection of you in each one of us. We pray all this and all our prayers in the name of Jesus, our teacher, brother, and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our loving God, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God knows you by name. God knows all that you can do. God appears in your works for justice. God is revealed in our hope for change. Let us carry this spirit into our giving. Let us praise God with our gifts of tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
God, you offer us wonderful gifts. In these offerings, may we make the change that doesn't yet exist. May we give it a name. May we move through our fears. May we dare to call this hope wonderful. In the hope of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
What are you looking for? Teacher, where are you staying? Come and see. And may the God who sees you abide with you today and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.